Hello, I'm Pastor John Coleman, the senior teacher of Into the Word Ministries. You know, over the years, I've come across many, many, many recording tapes of events that happens inside of particular churches. And after going over some tapes in my library, I came upon this tape that I found rather interesting because I recorded it some years ago when a very well-known preacher in our community was on the verge of taking the quantum leap into what I call the abyss. What I'd love for you to do is to listen to very closely these words that I'm stating and to listen to a portion of an event that took place in this man's sanctuary when it was a very fine and large Baptist church. That ministry has now changed tremendously, and they are in the midst of making a decision with its leadership as well as gaining its people to follow that leadership. And I'd like to let you know where things start. Listen to these words and just kind of like go over it again in your mind how interesting it is how quick history comes to pass. What I'm going to do now is to let you hear the latter part of a sermon which was preached in a very large church, a very popular pastor. But what I would like you to listen to is the latter part of a service, and as you listen, I want you to analyze, would you want your church to be this kind of church? Would you rather stay in the kind of church that you're in now, or would you rather your service end like this? Now, I'm taking time with this because I do want you to hear this, and I want you to wrestle with the issue. I want you to try to figure out contextually whether what the person is saying is biblical and whether you would be able to follow that. And I'll try to build the scenario as best I can. There was an all-night something going on at this church where people were praying all night. And this service was the closing in of this all-night vigil. And during the morning worship service, the text was taken from Joshua, where Joshua was marching around Jericho, and when they made one shout, and the walls fell down. And so at the end of the sermon, the preacher was saying, what we need to do is shout down all those strongholds in our lives. That's the gist of the message. And this took place at the end of the service. And then you determine whether you want your church to be an exciting church.
He's keeping your family safer. Shelter, he's protecting your loved ones. Y'all ain't shouting for the baby. Y'all must be too tired to shout. I've been up all night, y'all. And I'm going to shout one more time today, you know. I got to give the rest of glory today. I want to bless his name today. I want the Holy Ghost to fall today. I ask him to let his anointing come. Fall, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Fall, anointing, in the name of Jesus.
I had to interject right now because doctrinally, you don't call down the anointing. We are the anointed ones. The anointing that I received in August of 1967 is that same lasting anointing that keeps me. So I don't have to shout him down, beg him down, or beckon him down. He is already here. And Jesus says plainly that when I go, I am going to send you another comforter and he will remain in you. So doctrinally, you do not beg or shout the anointing down. Let's continue to analyze.
In the name of Jesus, fall, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus.
I am not to beckon the Holy Ghost to fall. He has already come. He does not fall. Fall is a charismatic tone, a tenure. And if it is used in that sense, it is accepted in that sense by the worshipers or the parishioners. They are beckoning him to fall too. And I want you to listen to the response of the parishioners as this continues.
Hallelujah! 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 Shout! Shout! Shout!
Now, in the sense of most charismatic churches, the charismatic leader is the preacher. And the preacher here is beckoning them to continue to be involved in this. He is beckoning them to shout, to shout, to shout, to shout. and using religious words. Jesus says not to do that. He says, do not use vain repetition as the Pharisees do. Vain repetition is exactly that, when you are repeating phrases with the intention to have your audience shrouded in the excitement.
Shout! 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 Shout!
I believe that we are to be contextually biblical Christians. I believe that if the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter were in a group of believers in the first century church, that this type of mannerisms and behavior would not, and I put emphasis, not go on. I do not have to tell you to shout. I do not have to tell you to pray. I do not have to tell you to clap your hands. I should not have to beckon you to do that. For the true worship experience is one that is prompted in spirit and in truth, and not by a worship leader who has the intention to bring his audience to a state of frenzy.
Shout! Shout!
I want you to be aware that this shouting goes on continuously. It does not stop. Where is there an understanding of worship and praise? Listen. If someone would walk into the congregation now, what would they think is going on? Is this the excitement that you want in your church? Friends, I have great difficulty. I haven't been a senior pastor very long, but I would say that this is not the kind of excitement that should be in a church. Christian church today seriously needs to analyze its purpose, need to seriously analyze our purpose. Have we come to a point in Christendom that the preaching of the Word of God and the Word of God alone, with the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer, has that ceased to be enough to become the convincer? Do we need our people carried into frenzies such as this in order to please our Lord? I'm not picking a fight with anybody. Don't want to do that because I don't like to fight. I know that some of you sitting out there right now listening to this saying, well, I may know who the church is. Well, I didn't mention who the church is. I'm not going to mention. That's not my point. If it happens in this church, it happened once too often. That is not worship. That is not true biblical excitement. That does not take care of situations in your life. You can shout all you want, and what God has caused to take place in your life will take place. Let us, as believers, continue to ask that the Lord's will might be done in our lives, and not necessarily a shouting match to try to get our way. But let us not try to ever beckon God's Holy Spirit to come down or to fall and to feel when He has already done so. The Holy Spirit has been gently placed in our hearts, and what we are to do is to accept His working. Let me give you scripture. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." What he's saying is that there is a right way to ask God for something. And if you want God to remedy a situation in your life, number one, He's not deaf. He can hear when you pray. Jesus gives us the way to pray in His example of the disciples' prayer. You say, "Father in heaven, holy is your name." You see, He didn't say to shout at God, to demand at God, to cry at God, to do any of those things, because that is not getting God to respond to us. The way that God responds to His children is that He knows what you need before you yet call. And if you gently, in a quiet, absolute, silent word of prayer, without even opening your mouth, God will respond. So, as I end up this portion of this little talk with your pastor, those of us that are seeking for excitement, you can find it. But the question is, my friend, is the excitement that you're seeking for biblical? Is the excitement that you are looking after the kind of excitement that God is excited about? And allow that truth to help you, so that when He comes to rapture His church, His body, you go with Him to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account of the deeds done in your body, whether it be good or bad.